The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello, Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, a great time to check in with our Chief of Psychology here at the Ulster County Department of Health, Dr. Gerald Fix. But before I introduce Dr. Fix, I just wanted to review some statistics that we have here. In 2019, over 50,000 Americans died by suicide, and for every completed suicide, there were 25 attempts. Suicide is now the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And every 22 minutes, an American veteran dies from suicide. And veterans are 1.5 times more likely to die from suicide than non-veteran adults. And according to the CDC, through the end of June of this year, suicides are up sharply from the same time period last year. 11% of Americans surveyed said that they have considered suicide. For young people under 18, the number is 25%. And despite these sobering statistics, there are things that we can do in terms of becoming more aware of the signs and symptoms of suicide, knowing what to say and do if we notice those in friends and loved ones, and steps that we can take to prevent suicide, to help prevent suicide, I should say. And Dr. Fix is going to tell us all about those. Welcome, Dr. Fix. How are you?
Morning, Ben. I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Dr. Fix, just give us a very quick background of your training and credentials so people who haven't heard from you before know what your background is.
Well, I'm a clinical psychologist. And I am trained in assessment and testing and research and treatment. Mm-hmm. Right. I provide those services to people of all ages. And at the Ulster County Department of Mental Health, I also provide forensic evaluations for courts throughout Ulster County.
And Dr. Fix, I provided some national statistics on suicide. What are some of the statistics on our local Ulster County level?
Well, you know, we were doing pretty well for the first 3 months of 2020. But if we look at the stats through August of this year, Ulster County has seen an increase in over 11% in suicides. Through the first 3 months, we were actually down 40% compared to the first 3 months of 2019. But if we look at the time period from March through August, we actually, for that time frame, there was an increase of 75% in suicides in Ulster County. And that's where the 11% increase to date for the calendar year of 2020 compared to 2019 comes in.
Right. And those same statistics are showing up in our opioid overdoses and fatalities where I am heavily involved. And we know that there are additional stress and anxiety factors that are a consequence of the COVID pandemic and most notably social isolation. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. You know, human beings have a biological need for social interaction. We know from not just human beings, but animals in general, we know from the research that social isolation causes symptoms of depression. Infant research, research with elderly populations, and increase with other people from other age brackets has consistently shown that the more socially isolated a person is, the more likely they are to become depressed. And of course, there's a very high correlation between depressive symptomatology and suicide.
Mm-hmm. And we know that the similar things hold for physiological illnesses as well, and that social connectivity is a big factor in ascertaining community health and the public health of world is very focused in on that. Aside from the COVID-related causes, Dr. Fix, what are some of the other key factors that might cause someone to consider suicide?
Not just COVID-related isolation, but social isolation in general. So being cut off from peers or other people can be a causal factor for suicide. Also, suffering the loss of a loved one through death or infirmity. Being gravely ill, whether that's mental illness or physical illness. And change in your financial status, a great loss of income, change in employment, and change in your relationship status, like losing a partner or a spouse, whether that's through death or just the breakup of those relationships. Those are some of the causal factors.
And that would account for probably the high rates of suicide among older adults, would it not? Because of changing circumstances, health, finances, relationships, et cetera.
Certainly. All of those factors are experienced very acutely by older populations. Social isolation, loss of a loved one, financial stressors, and of course, health concerns.
Mm-hmm. And what about some of the causational factors related to suicide that particularly impact our children? And what can we as parents do to help protect them? We heard those numbers up front that I read.
Yeah, well, kids and adolescents are particularly, it's really critically important that they have regular contact with their peers and are able to develop close and ongoing relationships with adults outside of their home, such as their teachers, their coaches, their advisors. So living in, so right now, their kids may be cut off from those kind of social connections, but also unhealthy family relationships where the families are very chaotic. The suicide by family members is highly correlated with either acute suicidality or eventual suicidality among children. Impulsivity. Kids are impulsive by nature. They don't really have the ability to use consequential thinking. So they will carry out often a permanent solution to what is often a temporary problem. And then access to means, whether that's firearms in the home or medications, prescription or otherwise, are all factors that contribute to an increase in suicidal rates for, or at least suicidality for children.
And I think we saw a graphic example of that with the young man in Sandy Hook, right? Where he had mental health issues and I think autism yes. symptoms, and then ended up in mom's basement playing violent video games with a cabinet full of guns upstairs.
And he was certainly socially isolated. And
for sure.
That's not to say that mentally ill people are more prone to suicidality or homicide. In fact, they are less likely to commit acts of violence and more mm-hmm. likely to be the victims of violence.
Right.
But that particular case, there was a constellation of factors that, really made it no surprise, unfortunately, mm-hmm. that occurred.
And Dr. Fix, as we heard up front again, that our veterans are really impacted by suicide. Every 22 minutes a veteran dies by suicide. And we know that veterans and first responders who literally work in ultra high risk environments as a matter of their vocation are really susceptible, right?
And absolutely.
And what can be done to help those folks, or what can they do to help themselves?
Well, that's a good question. Everybody faces stress and everybody faces some sort of traumatic experience over the course of their lifetime. But most people who are not veterans or in law enforcement or first responders have the ability to recoil, have some time to restore themselves to a baseline where they're not feeling the acute effects of the stress. Veterans who are facing continual deployment and a constant fear of death and loss of people close to them, as well as first responders, law enforcement, and other personnel, have a lifestyle or at least a job in which they're constantly facing the fear of death and critical situations that are life-threatening, either to themselves or others. And that can be, you know, the vicarious trauma that someone else has experienced or is experienced can have a lasting effect on people who witness it.
Right, being in a constant state of fight or flight, right? Constantly with those hormones raging through one's body and the stress and, you know.
Sure, and you know, you have to go back on your shift or you have to go back out on into the field, and you don't always have time to get back to baseline. And the more frequently you're not able to get back to baseline, that makes you more susceptible to a heightened reaction to those situations as they compound.
Right, so, cumulative effect. And we'd like to hear about some of the preventative steps that can be taken to help those individuals and for them to help themselves. And we'll cover that in the next section. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved, because these legs never grew weak, because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Hey, look how cheap this one is.
That's a counterfeit.
A counter what?
Counterfeit. You know, a product that looks like the real thing, but is a fake, made by someone else. Thing is, it may look real, but it's made with phony or even dangerous stuff in dirty factories.
So what?
So what? Your skin lotion could have something scary in it, like antifreeze or other poisons. It could even be urine and mouse droppings you're rubbing all over your skin, and you wouldn't even know it.
No way. That's creepy and sick.
Yeah, that's why we need to know what's inside. Make sure you're buying quality stuff from a real store or a trusted website.
Wow, thanks.
What are friends for?
Buying fake products can cost you the health of your face, skin, and eyes, or scar you for life. Protect yourself. This message is brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office. To find out more about how counterfeits can cause real danger to you and your family, visit ncpc.org/goforreal.
Go for real.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we're talking today to Dr. Gerald Fix, who's Chief of Psychology for the Ulster County Department of Mental Health, and we're talking about suicide awareness and prevention, this being National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And Dr. Fix, before the break, we talked about some of the risk factors for suicide. Can you talk to us a little bit about what the signs and symptoms are and how we recognize them in someone we know and love and who might be struggling with those? And if we do notice them, what do we do?
Sure. When someone is chronically depressed, and I'm not just talking about, you know, sadness that people feel, you know, on occasion, when they're depressed over a long period of time, or have recently become much more depressed than usual and appear hopeless, that's a sign of possible suicidality. Reckless behavior, engaging in risky activities that are out of character for the person, talking about feeling trapped or having no way out. Interesting behavior is the giving away of valuable possessions is often an immediate precursor to suicide. Increase in alcohol or drug use, withdrawing from friends, family, and community, admiring people who've died by suicide, talking about feeling anxious, agitated, being unable to sleep or sleeping all the time, exhibiting rageful behaviors and or dramatic mood swings, talking about having no reason for living or no sense of purpose, which is, again, indicative of hopelessness, making a threat or talking about wanting to hurt or kill oneself, and looking for ways to kill oneself by seeking access to firearms, pills, or some other means, and also talking, writing, or drawing about death, dying, or suicide.
So for those of us who don't have, who are not professionals and don't have experience in dealing with people who are having suicidal thoughts, what do we do when we notice these things? Do we talk with them? Do we refer them immediately or both? Or
You know, it's okay to talk to people about that and to ask them if they're feeling suicidal. A lot of people are afraid to use that word. A lot of people are afraid to ask somebody if they're thinking of killing themselves. But the research shows that you're not going to increase the likelihood of suicidality by asking people about it. In fact, you're going to provide an opportunity for someone to relate those feelings of despondency and then open the door to get some help. And there are a lot of resources that people can be connected with that can help them through those critical periods so they don't kill themselves. And, you know, it doesn't just have to be a parent or family member who reaches out to a person who's feeling suicidal. Friends, teachers, coaches, clergy members, neighbors, coworkers, anybody who's concerned and caring enough to let the person know that they have that concern can be really critical in helping a person through those suicidal periods.
Mm-hmm. And before we outline some of those specific resources that we have here in Ulster County and nationally, what are some, you know, during the COVID pandemic, you hear in a lot of news reports and discussions about coping strategies. I know myself, mm-hmm. you know, I've been, you know, I mean, like everyone, you know, additional anxiety and stress and uncertainty. And mm-hmm. I know there are coping mechanisms like getting adequate sleep, spending time in nature, making sure you get, you know, to pay attention to nutrition, mindfulness practice, all those types of things. And we talked about, you know, some of the high stress professions like veterans and first responders. In terms of self-care, what would you recommend?
Talking to people as much as possible, staying connected to others. And that's challenging right now, but you know, whether you're talking to someone in your family who's in the home with you or talking on the phone, talking via all the different electronic means we have these days, staying connected is very important. And as you said, then exercise and getting outside. I can't stress how important getting outside is for people's mental health. You'll find that if you can get outside 1 hour a day, your mood will brighten within a week's period of time. Mm-hmm. And that's a really powerful, accessible, free method of improving your mental health and right. the amount of stress you're feeling. Watching how much you drink, avoiding drugs and alcohol, you know, and alcohol altogether, if that's a problem for you.
Reducing screen time, I'd imagine, too, right? Because the 24/7 news and information, you know.
Well, that's right. When screen time can mean being connected to others, but it can also mean bombarding yourself with media. And that can be a
catastrophe,
stressful situation, because normally the media that we see on the internet is, you know, talking about crisis or negative news. There, you know, a lot of good news isn't shared there. So I would really encourage people to limit the amount of exposure they have to or at least not constantly bombard themselves with media, whether it's internet or printed.
Mm-hmm. A Zen master teacher that I've been studying with for a better part of 20 years mm-hmm. terms it as psychic toxicity, is that when if you fill your psyche with an endless stream of negativity and crisis and fear and chaos and what have you, that it can poison your psychic wellness in the same way that poisons can poison your physical being.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why exposing yourself to nature and being outdoors can have the opposite effect. You know, it's a wonderful world outside there, outside our homes. And if we give ourselves the opportunity to enjoy it and to soak it in, it can be invigorating.
And Dr. Fix, you and I sit on a suicide prevention coalition here in Ulster County known as SPEAK, Suicide yeah. Prevention Education and Awareness Committee. And we've done a lot of different, engaged in a lot of different interventions here in Ulster County. Can you just review them and then just talk to us about some of the main resource like hotlines and what have you that are available sure. for folks?
Sure. One thing that we started a couple of years ago now, or at least we got involved in, is something called the Gunshot Project that was started in New Hampshire. And it really has to do with access to firearms and gun safety. Obviously, you know, guns are the number one they're the leading method by which people complete suicide or successfully commit suicide because they are so lethal. And so keeping guns locked, whether it's in a safe or with gun locks, it has been shown to greatly reduce the rate of suicide. So we have a lot of free gun locks here at the Ulster County Department of Mental Health, and people can call the main number for Ulster County Mental Health and get those free gun locks. We also have a lot of other resources available to people. Ulster County Mobile Mental Health has a phone number that people can call whether they're experiencing suicidal ideation or just emotional trauma, serious mental illness, anxiety, depression, or family crises. And they can be contacted and licensed professionals can respond to their home, or if someone knows of someone in the community who's experiencing a crisis, they can actually report to the site in the community where the person.
And I have that number right here handy. It's 844-277-4820, 844-277-4820. Right. And we have Family of Woodstock, right? It has a hotline text line.
They have a hotline and a text back line, which is pretty terrific. You know, for younger people who are, you know, more akin to texting than talking, they can actually text to somebody who will respond. And that, we're going to put up all these numbers later, but 845-679-2485 is the number for the Family of Woodstock hotline and text back line. There is also some gatekeeper training, such as Safe Talk, which is where people like teachers, coaches, other interested people can learn how to prevent suicide by recognizing the signs and engaging people who might be suicidal and connecting them to an intervention resource for further support. And that is provided Safe Talk, and another program is Youth Mental Health First Aid, where people can learn how to talk to kids or recognize the signs and talk to kids who might be in crisis.
And unfortunately, Dr. Fix, we are running out of time. Let me just give folks one more hotline. It's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, and that is 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255. Dr. Fix, thank you so much. We'll have to have you on again because, as always, the time is too short for such an interesting topic. And everyone, please stay safe out there. Look after each other. Give some love and some compassion out there, and you know, we'll get through this together. So thank you, Dr. Fix, and thank you, listeners. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.